think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the only war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another monthly edition of the Rebel Beat, a Firebrand Records podcast. My name is Aaron, and we're coming at you for March 2018. This is Class War on the Dance Floor. So what does it sound like if you take two dedicated activists with incredible rhythmic and vocal sensibilities, throw them into a loft studio, and keep them staunchly in the underground music scene for over 20 years? Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is what LAL is all about. This electronic music duo of Rosina Kazi and Nicholas Murray, aka LAL, have been holding it down in Toronto for more than two decades, providing frontline support to groups like Black Lives Matter and No One Is Illegal, and pumping out inspiring music all along the way. There are guests on the show today, so stay with us.
for a miracle. But to the end of that is a French bistro, Dominican chef, Italian restaurant, Boricua chef, Chinese takeout, Mexican chef. No more miracle. But to the end of that,
brown walks your baby, brown walks your dog, brown raise American pixel that's mom, brown cleans your house, brown takes the trash, brown even whips your granddaddy's ass, brown sews the buttons back on your shirt, brown picks the poop, brown pets it in the dirt, brown drives your bus, brown drives your taxi, brown brings your lunch and a bike when you're relaxing.
Welcome back to the Rebel Beat, a Firebrand Records podcast. This is your monthly stop for radical music across different genres and across different continents. We just heard two tracks to kick us off there. The first was from Toon Yards from her new album, that was Colonizer. And then Xenia Rubinos with Mexican Chef. Those two were just on a tour together, and I had the privilege of seeing them play live in Toronto a few weeks ago. It was absolutely amazing. Especially Xenia Rubinos, I'd never heard of her before, and she just completely blew me away. So of course, if you're not already subscribed to this podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you like getting your podcasts. You can hit the big subscribe button that's up on our website, rebelbeatradio.com. It's the best way to never miss a Rebel Beat. Hey, you can even pause this podcast right now and go subscribe because I want you to do it that much. And of course, you can find us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or if you're old school, you can email us at rebel@ckut.ca. We do hope that you like this podcast, and if you like it, please please support it. Here's three really simple ways to do that. One is by leaving us a rating or review. You can do that on iTunes or wherever you download this podcast. It just takes 2 seconds and you can go there. You can leave us 5 stars. You can leave us 1 star if you hate it, whatever. It doesn't matter. But just leaving that rating really helps people to find the Rebel Beat. Second way is to tell a friend about it. You know, just go over to your peeps and say, hey, I've been hearing this amazing podcast, chock full of amazing music and dope ass radical politics. Tell them to subscribe to the Rebel Beat today. And finally, the last way is by making a donation. You can be a monthly donor on the show for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. I know $1 a month isn't really that much to you. Actually, you don't even really think about it, but it makes a huge difference to us. You can also make a one-time donation to the show by sending us a PayPal transfer to rebel@ckut.ca. We've got a lot of exciting things brewing for people who do donate and support the show. We're working on sending out a monthly newsletter full of music recommendations, links to articles and videos, and so much more. But again, to get that, you got to sign up as a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. The Rebel Beat is also a proud member of the Channel Zero network of anarchist podcasts. You can hear dozens and dozens of anarchist podcasts at Channel Zero. Podcasts that are putting out ideas for a world free of fascism, sexism, racism, transphobia, homophobia, and a world full of freedom. We just added 2 new podcasts to the network, The Guillotine and The Radical People Podcast. You can check them all out at channelzeronetwork.com. Here's a little snippet of what the Channel Zero Network has to offer.
Kiteline is a weekly 30-minute radio program focusing on issues in the prison system. You'll hear news along with stories from prisoners and former prisoners, as well as their loved ones. You'll learn what prison is, how it functions, and how it impacts all of us.
Behind the prison walls, a message is called a kite. Whispered words, a note passed hand to hand, a request submitted to the guards for medical care. Illicit or not, sending a kite means trusting that other people will bear it farther along until it reaches its destination. Here on Kiteline, we hope to share these words across the prison walls.
You can hear us on the Channel Zero Network and find out more at kitelineradio.noblogs.org.
All right, so welcome back to the Rebel Beat. We're going to get into that interview with Lal in just a little bit. So I was in Toronto earlier this month, and I had the blessing and privilege of sitting down with Lal in their home studio called Unit 2. We talked a lot about a lot of different things. I've been a fan of Lal for a long time. I had a chance to meet Rosina, who is their vocalist, at a conference about 15 years ago, and we've kept in touch over the years. We talked a lot about things like gentrification, just surviving in the underground music scene for the last 20 years. We talked about supporting movements with sound, like the Black Lives Matter Tent City movement in Toronto, the Strawberry Ceremony. So we're going to get to that interview with Rosina and Nicholas now, but first, a little bit of music from Lal.
Rules were meant to be broken.
All right, so I'm here in Toronto with both members of LAL, who we're going to be speaking with on the Rebel Beat today. Can you guys both introduce yourselves before we get into it?
I'm Rosina Kazi.
I am Nicholas Murray.
So this space we're in, Unit 2, tell us a little bit about, like, where we are and what this space is all about.
So you're in our home / artist cultural activist space. We've been running it for about 8 years. It's been mostly very underground, and it's geared towards sort of queer, trans, two-spirit, BIPOC, and friends. I'm not using the word ally anymore. So that's the community. We were pretty underground because we just want to create safer space for people. But now that as this area changes, we're being a bit more vocal and doing some more press around the space. And partially for me, this space was really inspired kind of like by Sala Rosa and that scene there, just around, what was it? It was Godspeed Black Emperor, just the stuff that they were doing collectively. Mind you, we're at a time now where Toronto real estate is really ridiculous, but can we try to create an alternative reality in such a corporate city? Mm. That's what we're trying to do.
And even like, I was walking down here from the subway station, and it's kind of like, this area is interesting. It looks like one of those old industrial neighborhoods where there isn't really industry anymore, and so it's changing into art spaces. And you can see like all this construction just walking down, like tons of construction happening. So maybe like if you guys could talk a little bit more about like where we are and just like what's happening here in terms of the area.
Well, the area is kept real by the Nestle Chocolate Factory that's right beside us, and that runs 24 hours and it never closes.
Wow. Does it always smell like chocolate?
It's every now and then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've grown used to it. But like, it's one of those things where they keep the area pretty real. So it can't actually turn into like a corporate kind of headquarters for anywhere, because they have to be able to run their trucks back and forth. And there was talks about making it into like that building was across the street that's now being turned into the MoCo is going to be turned into condos. But they were like, that's not going to happen because we have to be able to have like, there's just not, the infrastructure isn't there for, in terms of like roadways for them to have like full on living spaces in this area.
Which is really like, the irony is hilarious to me because Nestle is such a, like for me, an evil company in sorts around water and all this stuff. But they're one of the reasons why gentrification slowed down in this neighborhood, which supported independent local artists and communities. That's kind of weird. It's like,
as corporate as Toronto is, they're still going to find a way to do it. And they are actually, which is gross, but you know, it is what it is. We're quite lucky to be able to still be able to live here and do what we do.
Yeah, like the Drake now is across the street, and they're the Drake Commissar. I don't even want to advertise. So they're a restaurant, it's a brewery now.
Yeah.
A lot of these spaces have been turned into nicer sort of units, and so you have a lot more sort of like, I don't know how to, like just upper echelon, I'll call it, like people moving in here. But then you also still have the mix of old circus people up the street and a bunch of artists and musicians. So, and then MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, is moving in across the street. The really great thing about them is that they're actually really trying to have a dialogue with local community, Sterling particularly, around being mindful and supporting local artists. So they're doing these monthly meetings, which is really huge. And I think because they're the MoCA, they've been able to orchestrate getting other people involved, because other people didn't talk to us at all. Mm. And it's also all through personalized, like personal relationships that we have with each other through racialized queer community kind of thing. So that's interesting.
And I'm curious, like, what do those discussions look like? Because it's like a pattern we see in so many cities right now, like the old industrial moving out, weird tech companies moving in, or lofts or artist space or what have you. So when people actually do get these chances to like sit down together, like I'm curious to know, like, what are maybe like some of the proposals that people like low income artists or residents in the neighborhood would put forward to stop that displacement?
So we haven't actually been able to make a couple. There've only been two meetings because they're really early and I keep forgetting. So the next one we will definitely show up for. But we've been having more one-on-one meetings, and some of those discussions have looked like, okay, instead of if they're going to be hiring to build something at the MoCA or staff or food, let's actually hire people from this area and this street specifically. So those kinds of conversations, if there's studio space available, let's make sure we can give it to folks who were pushed out or who are part of this neighborhood. So I think those are some of the initial conversations. And then our hope is that we can also influence some of the curation of, because they also want to make sure that they curate local events with international artists so that we can help sort of have that dialogue. And it's not just this weird bubble across the street, you know? So that seems hopeful, at least particularly in conversations around gentrification, you know?
Makes sense. Well, they're a museum. They're an art-centered, focused building. Like, it's not just about what's inside the building. It's about what's around the building as well. It's part of the conversation.
Yeah. But that's, I think, partially because we have an international curator and also a pretty, a racialized political curator involved as well, who actually think about these things. And so I think that's part of it, is that they're actually connected to these communities or somewhere in the world.
You place the world on your shoulders and fight the good fight. Justice makes your heart pound and your fist shall always raise. Something's on your mind by that blue look in your brown eyes. I can tell something's on your mind by that blue look in your brown eyes.
So let's come back and talk about Lao. You guys have been doing it, I think this year would be the 20th year that you guys are making music.
Yeah.
So if that, I'll do the math, 1998, I guess you guys got started. Maybe take us back to the beginning and tell me the story of how Lal came together and came to be doing the music that you guys are doing.
I think we've just answered this question so many times that we just do it really quick now. Nick is part of a hip-hop trio, production trio called The Grassroots. So he was already making hip-hop and part of the local hip-hop scene in Toronto. And then when we started working at the big record store downtown, which was like the dance department, so we met everybody who was into music essentially. And I just sort of started tagging along and kind of just became part of the hip-hop and the black music community just by hanging out with him and getting really involved. And then after a while, I was very much heavily on the business side of the music industry, but also had this social justice thing that I was really in my blood. And then I got let go of a label that I was working for, thank God, and I was like, I'm going to make music. And I just basically harassed the fuck out of Nick to be like, come on, work with me. Then somewhere in that, we fell in love, which is hilarious because that happens a lot in the music industry.
We're still not, like, opposites.
Yeah. Like, we are opposites? Yeah. But then we've lasted for 20 years, so it's not it was just, you know, a thing to make a record.
It's weird.
Yeah, and then I think for me, making music with Nicholas is just, I don't like the music industry or the arts industry half the time. I think it's really toxic, and I think there's lots of danger, particularly if you're like female identified or femme, or if you're racialized or disability, whatever. There's, you know, if you're gay or queer or trans. So my body instinctually just was never really felt safe in it. but making music with Nicholas and kind of running our own thing felt safe. And then we linked up with like Moonstar and Mano from Public Transit Records. I had went to university with Mano, and we all just kind of started hanging out. Nick and Kevin Moonstar connected really well, and we would just throw these like hilarious parties back then, electronic music parties, which back then, like 20 years ago, it was pretty... I mean, we were in it, so it felt like it was what was happening. But when you look at Canada nationally, this was not happening. Right, it's now happening, you know? Yeah. So we were pretty ahead of times. And then Kevin and Tash moved to Montreal. And then we had that connection with Public Transit and connecting into Montreal. And now, and then we just, I think recently, well, not recently, 8 years ago, I burnt out. Like, I just couldn't do everything. And there wasn't enough infrastructure to support us as artists. So we moved here. And I was just like, let's just create our own space. Let's step out of this and let's see what happens when we just create our own space. And that's what we did for 8 years. So it's almost like we're just coming back to the music scene a little bit. Even though we've been producing music, we just didn't go through the avenue of the music industry. Mm. So last record, Coax, which is Ray Spoon's label out of Victoria, approached us and said they'd love to put our record out. And that really was... amazing, because Ray has a very also was kind of shunned out of the music industry for their trans experience, and was like, well, I'm still gonna do this, so let's do this. And then has been finding artists and working with artists who have that similar kind of, like, the music is all over the place, but we have that similar energy of like, we're not fans of the music scene, but we still exist in it. Mm-hmm. So let's create our own world within it.
Yeah,
so that's been really, really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Ray Spoon Coax thing was like a reset for us. We feel like we're on record two now. Mm. Well, record, well, we get like record, like everything is starting over.
We're on record two.
Yeah.
I mean, so one thing that's funny is Vice did this short video about you guys recently about Lal, and I think like the headline of it was like how these music industry outsiders have survived for 20 years. And yeah, I'm curious, like, I mean, obviously you guys didn't pick the headline, but like, do you guys see yourselves in a way as music industry outsiders, or like...
Completely.
Totally.
Yeah? Completely. Okay. I mean...
I was actually really happy with that title.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no allegiance to the music industry whatsoever, especially in this country where it's like completely very, very white supremacist. It's kind of set up in... Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be Randy Bachman, you know?
It's just really conservative. It's still, and even in places like Montreal, where you would think we'd have a connection for electronic music and radical, you know, it's like, where are your racialized folks up in Montreal scene? So we're trying like to push in, like, MuTech. Like, we're trying to get in.
But we did.
We're
going to
keep bugging. Yeah, we're going to keep bugging. MuTech and M from Montreal. Like, we're trying to make those.
Pop Montreal.
Pop Montreal. Like, so now we're trying to, because we have a manager, but we had to build our own manager. And Curon's been fantastic. They're queer and black, and they used to be the bass player for a great punk band called
Tribe 8.
Mm. I don't know if you remember them, but they're from the 90s. And so we literally had to just create our own infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we're all like semi-anarchists. Like, you know, we come with a punk sort of mentality. But we're kind of like, I feel like we're at a point where, yeah, we live in Canada, so we'll put up records here and we'll do what we can, but we need to focus somewhere else, because... we're just too weird and black and brown, I think. Mm. And we're critical. And I don't know if a lot of... there are some really great friends. I call them friends, but allies who really get that. Mm. More in the theater scene, which is very strange. But the music scene still seems like really caught up in like some shit that I'm just like, I don't care.
I wish we could run away. I wish we could find safety. I wish that we could run away. Oh, I wish that we could find safety.
So I've been a fan of Lal for like a while now. And I remember we met at, I think it was like a Pop Montreal panel. I remember speaking on a Pop Montreal panel with you.
Years ago.
Yeah, years ago. And it was like a pop and politics panel. Yeah. I have such a bad memory. I don't really remember what you said. I'm for sure. I don't really remember what I said. But I remember it was cool. I think Ian MacKay might have spoke the next day in that same series, but I didn't get a chance to meet him. And then one of the most memorable Lal shows for me that you guys did was in Montreal, the MAI Gallery. And it was like, I think like a deportation theme show. And it was very like, mobile because it was kind of in like this nice big open space. Yeah. And I remember there was like projections. Amazing projections and it was like you were moving around the audience a lot and it was like the politics of it were like so powerful and so raw. And so I'm wondering if you guys would maybe like talk a little bit about like, you know, your relationships with movements over the years. I know you've done like a lot of stuff with like No One Is Illegal around this like theme of like migration, deportation, open borders. So what movements you guys like working with and collaborating with and wanting to support?
For me, I'm an artist I'm not just an artist. I grew up in the Bangladeshi community here around a very similar sort of atmosphere where people got together to deal with their just survival. But they were very political in Bangladesh. It's just people fight all the time over politics. And so I kind of grew up around that and then searched for that in Toronto when the music industry felt very empty. And then because we're always trying to speak to, because the only way that our music for me lyrically that I can actually write is if I'm around people doing stuff and witnessing. I can't just do it from watching Facebook or like whatever. I actually have to. A lot of my lyrical ideas actually come from listening, you know, a lot to my friends. So recently, you know, we did a bunch of stuff with Noi over the years. We've been doing stuff with like Indigenous folks as well. You know, this is a spot where Unit 2, where we have presented and worked with Indigenous folks to present like, you know, all kinds of music, but really also Indigenous solidarity. Black Lives Matter, my good friends, a couple of my good friends, actually half of BLM are like good friends. And so the role that we've almost taken with activist stuff is instead of necessarily being performers, because half the time I think people don't know that we're performers actually, is that we help support with sound. Mm. So we just did the strawberry ceremony and we just helped organize all the sound and we brought it and we set it up. Or, you know, even at Tent City for BLM's Tent City, you know, we help with the sound, we help get an artist. Like, we've been playing this kind of back role kind of thing. Because it's also to be mindful not to use these movements. Because I think also with this whole thing around branding and blah, 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 for me, I can clearly see how political artists, radical artists brand themselves. And I'm not interested so much in branding. Like, I just don't get it. You know, yeah, I'm queer, I'm brown, he's black, I'm Muslim. We have all these experiences that we could brand the fuck out of, but we're like, you know what? That's not who we are. Mm. So those are some of the movements I think that we've been, anyways, but also like gendered violence has something, like part of the reason why I stayed out of the music industry because of the gendered violence, you know? And so to finally see it being addressed is really good. But the propaganda around Hollywood or fame or capitalist art structures are really heavy. Mm. And I think a lot of us, through our loneliness, our pain, I think we feel like if we just get noticed, if we just make more money, you know, we'll feel better. And, you know, we probably would feel a bit better. But how long will that last? And what kind of community are you then participating in? You know, and the drugs and the alcohol, the addiction, like everything is just a bit like intense. And I think you don't really get that until you're in it. And so then maybe when you get in it, that's when you realize, oh shit, is this actually good for me? And it's very subtle, that manipulation. So
what is a sustainable model for you in terms of a music career?
I don't know. I think we're still trying to figure that out. I think like running this kind of a space, obviously we apply for grants, but actually I think we need to, part of our strategy for this next album is to look outside of Canada. You know, we've gotten really good support here from the grant system to community to the theater scene, which is very fascinating to me. But I think it's outside of Canada that's actually going to embrace our weird side, our radical side. You know, there's a history in Europe and in the United States that really understand that. Where in Canada, there is through the folk music scene and the punk music scene, but and the hip-hop music scene to a certain extent, but so much of that has been co-opted, I think, by, like, big capitalist structures in American radio and stuff like that. So, I don't know. But I think a lot of us are also understanding that I don't know how long we're going to exist in this world in terms of the world that we've built. Like, it's not sustainable. And for me, at any point, this shit could crash. So this idea of having a music career, it's like, I better learn to plant some shit. I better learn to build some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I better learn to how to, like, fight for water and help my friends fight for water. Like, that actually is the goal. Like, how do we live in a place that's sustainable, you know, and then use our art to get to that point? But do I really have this fantasy of, like, being a famous artist who, like, wins a Grammy? No, because by that time, I'm like, we're not going to have any resources left.
So you have a very apocalyptic view of the world.
It's not, I mean, it's apocalyptic. I'm from Bangladesh. The apocalypse has hit certain places. It's not coming. It's here in some places.
Right.
So, and we go to Dhaka, and I'm like, oh, this is like, the water's black. Okay, let's see what happens. For me, it's like the hope is creating our own within this shit.
Right.
It's like, so you can live anywhere. You can live in the city. You can, but what are we creating? That's, and not doing like a blatant fuck you to the system, which I'm fully for, like, fuck the system, but understand that we work in it, that we're impacted by it energetically, politically, consciously, everything. So how do we create something alternative? And I think people and artists and communities have been doing that forever. I think that's not something new. That's old.
Right.
And we're just a different, we're just taking that tradition and making it our own.
Land of dreams, come and be free, free, free. Raise your families, promises, 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 promises. Drive your taxis, work your jobs, no protection, money is gas. Promises, 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 promises.
I wanted to come back to one of your tracks that is my personal favorite, and so I'm wondering maybe if you could just break it down a little bit for us, Where We Belong. You know, I think we've touched on some of the themes that are in that song. It's from one of your older albums. Yeah, just tell us about that track and kind of like what's going on there.
We were living in London for 6 months at the time.
No, like 3 months.
3 months. I felt like 6 months.
Yeah.
It was like November to February.
Yeah, something like that.
It was like 4 months.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Time extends.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, but we were living in London however long it was, and we were staying with our friend Sam from State of Bengal, who recently passed away. We were basically sleeping in his record room, and he had all of these instruments strewn about, and we had a microphone and an interface and a laptop, and so Rosina would just pluck on things and I would sample them, and that was kind of the beginning of that song. Was just like an ectara, like the one string thing looped, and then we took that and we brought it back to Toronto, and then Ian played on it, and then I just added some more programming. And then Rosina was like, let's get some dancing on this. Rosina always had this idea of always wanting to sample people's feet dancing. So we decided to work with a Katak dancer and a flamenco dancer, actually, because Rosina just took it to the next level.
Is that that kind of like tapping you hear in it?
So Joanna D'Souza is a Katak dancer, which is Ian D'Souza's partner.
He played bass.
he used to play bass with us.
Yeah.
And then Ilse is a flamenco dancer. So also showing like the patterns of almost like migration. And for me, Diaspora. I think being connected to Sufi tradition, like that's so connecting all of that. I just really wanted to sample their feet. So that's what we did partially.
Where was that record done?
It was done here.
No, it was done in Ronsonsville. So we used to live in a building on Fermata, that big building on the corner of Fermata and Ronsonsville. We used to live there. So it was done there.
And then lyrically, I think because that was a deportation record. So after, and what's interesting is that we put that record out in 2004.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Wow. So I feel like we've always been ahead of the curve because of who we hang out with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the mainstream isn't talking about these things till like probably a decade later. And so I think coming out of 9/11, for me as a Muslim-identified person or culturally Muslim-identified person, really impacted kind of how I saw the world and my place in it. And so writing from that perspective and then getting really involved with NOI at the time, like with No One's Illegal in Toronto and nationally, and also connecting into Montreal and just seeing like what was happening across Canada and the US and really globally. So that song really speaks to this, and also acknowledging that, you know, just that racism that I felt as a kid, my parents felt, our communities felt, that you don't belong, go back to belong, was always something we were always told over and over again, even though I was fucking born here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then but also like, I'm not sure if this is in the song, I don't think it is, but the complication of then what is your responsibility to Indigenous folks, you know? So that has come later. Yeah. And I think on Find Safety, I think that has come into this record. So that song was very important around just even witnessing family and friends and community who just are on the margins and you get totally ignored. Our stories get ignored. But it's so much part of this country's history. You know, like the working, the full-time job and a half and sending money back home. You know, like being told to come to Canada because it's better for you, but getting here and understanding that, oh, it's actually really fucking hard. So it's all about those things.
Yeah. That's a super powerful song.
I've been working full-time, 7 days, six nights, sending money back home, make sure family's all right. They said, go over there where your future is bright, but our puppet government sold us for the right price. Now I'm left to live where it's not my first language. You do what you're told, understand you speak English, and if you cause trouble, then you'll be deported, and better yet, they'll call you a terrorist. Land of chains, slaves, red blood stains, all the money's made. Promises, 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 have your
baby. Lastly, you mentioned you're working on a new album, so what's next for Lal?
2019, hopefully. We're working on a new record that's taking its time to develop, and we're into phase two now. I think we've established what songs we want to work on, and we're just kind of finessing them. Hopefully we'll have it done by summer and release it next year.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, the struggle, I think when you said struggle, I think the struggle for us is I feel like we are in such a different world that when we compare ourselves, when we look out into the rest of the world, musicians are putting stuff out so fast, or everything looks really great, but there's no message, or there's, so as musicians who are part of pop culture in particular in this way, it's challenging to exist in this kind of slow pace, take our time, work with community sort of way. But this record is also, for me, is about, it's kind of like, it is inspired by Octavia Butler's work. It is about this idea of that, the future, and we've left and we've come back. And the fantasy science fiction is part of this album. And it's about, for me, this record had to be about dancing. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that have helped me, and in this space as well, is that when we get together and we dance, you know, there's dancing and drums and bass. They've been around forever as well. Our heartbeats, like, so for me, it has to be anchored in the politic, but in the release of the heaviness of just the head all the time, you know, and reconnect that into the heart and the body. Mm. So
amazing.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm looking forward to it. Rosina and Nicholas from Lao, thank you so much for being on the Rebel Beat.
Your body could start a war, and so could mine. They know this. In the steel thrum and violence of an airport, I wait on yet another $100 U.S. Air flight from Buffalo to LaGuardia after a $40 Toronto Greyhound ride. There's a clear glass box in one of the aisles whose doors whoosh shut. The security screener looks at me and waves me towards that line. There's a good old boy sitting there. Have you ever been in one of these before? No. Well, it's extra special. You go inside and little bursts of air hit you all over and can tell if you've got explosives on you or not. If you're clear, the doors open up. If you're not, you're held there for questioning. I imagine the floor under the box opening up and dropping me into a holding cell where no one waiting to get through to buy a Starbucks or a newspaper has to see me. You might, want to keep your hands on your clothes. The machine blows some of the ladies' skirts up. I know he loves this job. My lover's tits are explosive, hips are illegal. My lip gloss is a bomb, and so is my hijab. We are terrorists for crossing these lines on a map no one but them can see. For sending care packages held up for months by Homeland Security. My lover's tits are explosive. Shoes contain bomb dust from sucking cock at Dolores Park. My breasts should not be here, and they ain't gonna allow anything to be wet. They think my terrorist makeup, nail polish, and water is powerful enough to blow up every airport, every city I'm not supposed to be in. My lovers and me pulled aside all these stories inside us, no place for them to fly to. They want to take our ability to fly away. Habibti, they know your body and mine could start a war. They already have.
All right, welcome back to the Rebel Beat. Again, we are a Firebrand Records podcast, and you can find their full roster of amazing radical artists at firebrandrecords.com. There's some exciting Firebrand news over the coming few months. Ryan Harvey, who's the label co-founder, is going to be putting out some new stuff. Leah Rose is going to be putting out some new stuff. And of course, one of my favorite radical political hip hop artists, Son of Nun, is going to be putting out a new album very, very soon. So again, go check them out. Link with them on social media, firebrandrecords.com. It's time now, of course, for our Turn It Up segment, where we look at an artist or a community group that are using their platform for radical social change. And today on our Turn It Up segment, we're going to be talking about venues. We're going to be talking about supporting our independent venues, but also kind of clapping back to venues when they do fucked up things. Now, here in Montreal, and I mean, imagine the case is similar in other cities around the world, we're seeing a little bit of a crisis in independent venues. Now, this is happening, of course, because of gentrification, because of rich developers coming into our spaces in the city and wanting to put up condos for people with more money rather than respecting the cultural, music, and artistic scenes that have been there for so long. So even just in the last few months in my city, we've seen amazing music venues like Bobards, like the Divan Orange, like Keji B get shut down. Of course, in New York City, the infamous punk rock venue CBGB's closed in the last few years. So I just want to say, like, for a lot of us in this day and age, you know, we're streaming music online and we're sitting at home, we're watching our Netflix and we're chilling. But if you love music like I do, it is so important to go out and see live music and support these venues that are still doing it before it's too late and before they all get shut down because of these crazy, greedy, capitalist development vultures that are changing the way our city looks. But also, it's really important to speak out against venues who are making really fucked up decisions about the bands they book.
And for this Turn It Up segment, we want to give a huge shout out to Talib Kweli. We've given him so many props on so many of our Turn It Up segments in the past. But Talib Kweli is just someone who is always going out there, putting his neck out on the line and speaking out for social justice. And so Talib Kweli canceled one of his shows recently at The Riot Room, which is a venue in Kansas City, because The Riot Room had booked a show by the Norwegian black metal band Take. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But anyways, Take had been around for a long time. And in the mid-2000s, I believe it was around 2006, their singer appeared on stage in Berlin with a swastika painted on his chest. And so Talib Kweli, of course, hears about this and says, I'm not going to play a stage at the same venue that will book a band that uses neo-Nazi imagery. And so, of course, actually what happened is that, you know, Talib Kweli, his actions set off a bit of a chain reaction. And Take ended up having to cancel their whole tour in North America because of so many venues pulling the plug at the last minute. So big up Talib Kweli. Of course, Take responded with a pretty weak message, I think, saying that, oh, you know, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but we use the swastika because it's shocking and we're not actually a neo-Nazi band. But, you know, like, in this day and age, when there's a fascist in the White House and we see a rise in neo-Nazi movements around the world, it's not enough to just say that I was using neo-Nazi imagery or the swastika to be shocking or to be controversial. We have to put a clear line in the sand and say, with this rise in fascist violence happening all around the world, you have to choose a side. It is no longer acceptable to just use swastikas for shock value. This is something that has to change in our cultural scenes. This is something that the Rebel Beat absolutely supports, is being on the side of anti-fascism and supporting anti-fascists everywhere. So big up Talib Kweli, big up all the anti-fascist artists out there, and fuck you to Take for thinking that it's somehow acceptable for sporting swastikas on stage. Anyways, before we go, we're going to leave you with one last one from Son of Nun. Again, watch out for his new album dropping soon. But before we go as well, we do want to thank our Patreon supporters, Sarah, Scott, Matt, Dan, Zachary, Ryan, Misha, Israel, Benjamin, Ross, Camilo, DJ Kill McKinley, Jesse, Lee, Russell, Justine, Yannick, Andy, Andrew, Frank, and Anne. If you want to hear your name on that list, you can go to patreon.com/rebelbeatradio to become a Patreon supporter today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next month.
Yo, born again, check it out, yo, about to do it like this, the red on the page is my blood, the blood that runs across it is the death of my love, and the white that remains, that's the battleground yet to be stained, by the ink that symbolizes my pain, in other words, I write to fight, to live, to breathe in, to deal with the shit that kicks my teeth in, and this life I lead bleeds rhymes, cut by lifetimes of struggling against my own mind, I'm known to mock the mic just like a man slept on, pushed aside and stepped on, who kept on, my brother's yawning, I was pre-dawn, and spit flames and left mics burning on lawns, with the words be out before dawn, still warm, sick raps endorsed by the clan and Exxon, when the sun's on, it's on, even cats with their guns drawn, be drawn to raps that gun charm, four arms, disarm, my rap snatches snake slash firearm right out of your palm and expose you for the pawn you all. I mean we all, I mean this thing's gone too far, you know what I mean? Put the guns down, or we can start a land war with the landlords at the sundown. This is my town, that's what I be yelling as I start putting cracks in the landlord's melon. You can bet I get that ass a good swelling, cause it seems to me that that just seems to be something right. White collar burns right, burned right, the winning of a new beginning, grinning through ashes and firelight. I spit bombs that transform minds to guns, busting shots at the banner till the blood runs, coming down, washing our chains away, born again American MC and DJ. I spit rhymes that transform minds to guns, busting shots at the banner till the blood runs, coming down, washing our chains away, born again American MC and DJ. As far as I know, brothers I know ain't rolling in dough, but we're still nice with the flow like Bolo. Young beating brothers hand solo till they're speaking in tongues, I'm reaching my lung and let you taste the tar where I'm from. It's the land of the unsung, where even cops salute you not with hands, but with 41 from guns. Like Amadou, slew for being black after curfew, by Jim Crow's little boys in blue. This America, my beloved, but if it was on life, life support, not black love it. Unplug it, pillow love it. Here comes the flashback of when they lash back. I think you get the gist of it. This is the hiss that I keep in my chest, deep in my chest, like budding fire inked on my chest. I was scorned by the beat between the east and the west. Hand over fist, companies making money off of our death. And it's the same thing, even in these days. The more people that want a job, the less the job pays. But the more people that want a home, the more we gotta pay. Seems to me like people like me get screwed either way. But one day, you can believe the people will get back some of the shit that they receive. We'll roll up with fists thrown up, ain't nothing funny. And still don't nothing get redistributed but the money. But until then, I'll organize and kick rhymes that mind bend for minds trying to redesign trends. Cause it's a crazy situation cats are facing across the nation without justification. Laid off from corporations, students dropping out because they can't afford the cost of education. And we're about to bomb another nation just so we can flex and make some money at the gas station. And the list goes on, and the list goes on, and the list goes on, and the list goes. I spit rhymes that transform minds to guns, busting shots at the banner till the blood runs. Coming down, washing our chains away, born again American MC and DJ. I spit rhymes that transform minds to guns, busting shots at the banner till the blood runs. Coming down, washing our chains away, born again American MC and DJ.